Dave, why are we always fighting? Every season, we're always fighting.
Now we're just fighting to see who's the better taste in movies.
We both agree that we don't know shit about movies, but we have to see who knows at least more jack shit about movies.
Yeah.
This is actually a continuation of what you brought in last season of was the genre versus.
Yeah.
Was this your thing, genre versus?
Yeah.
Or was this a collaboration?
I had the original idea, and then we collaborated on it, brought it to life.
And then we're like, well, you did that and the homework assignments, and those are just so good. We're like, well, we can't get rid of those. We have to keep those going.
Yeah.
Into this season, our first battle.
Yes.
We had a good run of five different genres last seasons, and this one got us kicked off with space.
Yeah, space / extraterrestrial.
Yeah, you gave me a little leeway with like Slither and but you gave me Event Horizon, which
I chose Event Horizon.
It's one that has been on my list of wanting to actually review. It's been on a couple of our top 10 lists, actually.
Yeah.
But we just never sat down and reviewed it.
Yeah.
So, do you want to get us kicked off, or should I? Or what are you feeling? You want to go first or second?
I could go. You want to go first with Slither, or?
I'll go first by reviewing Event Horizon, since that was your pick.
Yeah, I could go first with Slither.
All right, then you can go first with Slither.
Okay, so Slither.
James Gunn.
Directed by James Gunn. Has a pretty good cast of Nathan Fillion,
yep.
Elizabeth Banks, Michael Rooker. And it is about a meteorite that crashed on Earth and brings apart along this parasitic alien.
This ain't no Venom symbiote that's going to give you superpowers either.
No, it takes control of people and transforms them in a grotesque way. But in the very beginning of this movie, I realize there's a problem in it.
Uh-oh.
Why did they make this movie take place in LaSalle and have Elizabeth Banks and Nathan Fillion giving us terrible Southern accents?
I don't know. I just like them both so much, I don't care.
I love both those actors, but good God, their accents were not good.
It's not the first time I've heard Elizabeth Banks putting on a Southern accent.
Me either, but in this movie, there's no reason for it other than...
Well, we're in the South.
Have it take place...
Or just be like not from the, or just be not from the South, but you happen to live in the South.
Yeah.
Like, I'm actually from, like, up north, but I just happened to move here. But, so they're in the South, and Nathan and Elizabeth Banks' characters are giving you a little bit of, like, with the accents.
Yeah, Elizabeth Banks, her character, I forgot her name, but she's married to the... Michael Rooker, the rich, wealthy guy in town. And Nathan Fillion's kind of like the guy that went to high school with her and kind of has a thing for her.
Oh, that's kind of like the same setup as, like... It's kind of like the same setup as My Bloody Valentine, where it's like, they went to high school, but she's with this other person.
Yeah. And you can tell her marriage is kind of...
on the rocks.
Yeah. Not going great, but, you know, she's living a lavish life.
You know, but it's like devoid of any kind of real, like, emotion.
Real emotion, yeah. Yeah, but her husband is one of the people on a... she's the first or second that gets affected by this parasite.
Right.
And for him, like, he doesn't transform into grotesque being. He's one of the slow ones. Like, first, he slowly changes his personality.
And there's no, we need at least one person that kind of looks normal so we can, like, use them.
Yeah, basically, he looks normal, but his personality's changing. But as it spreads around, everyone turns, like, he spreads it to another local in town who he's kind of having an affair with.
Yep. Was she the woman who works at the grocery store?
Yeah, because it shows his personality trick. Because before he's affected, he kind of shoots down her advances.
Yeah.
And then as soon as he's infected, he instantly just rushes to her.
Yeah, he needs to breathe. He needs to...
Yeah, infect her. Yeah. Mess her all up. But
he's,
I definitely
he's the queen.
Like, yeah, why you like this movie?
Yeah, I knew I was taking a gamble.
The effects were pretty decent in this movie.
I was going to say, I was taking a gamble because I knew a part of it was body horror.
Yeah, I mean, it had pretty good effects.
Yeah, for 2000 and I want to say yeah. 4? Is that when that yeah. came out?
I want to say it was 2009, 2006.
Yeah, I mean, you can tell, like, some of the effects now you can look at it and be like, oh, that's dated. But, I mean, for the most part, I thought it looks pretty good.
Yeah, I'm glad they stayed more in the realm of practical instead of going CGI.
Yeah. I mean, some of the actual slither worms look a little, you know, whatever. But yeah. The actual, like, people getting infected are pretty practical.
Yeah. Which is kind of, like, a movie made in 2006.
Mm-hmm.
Usually they would have went, like... full-on CGI route.
Full-on.
Yeah, but this movie didn't do that. I think
I respect
good choice by James Gunn, yeah.
I actually have a similar kind of nod when it comes to Event Horizon 2, which is pretty good. I think, I'll just say, I think they both kind of use their effects pretty okay.
Yeah.
So Rooker is pretty much infecting everybody. Or he's like a hub yeah. of some sort of...
A hub, and yeah. Slowly, as he's infecting people, people start noticing, and they all try to, like, figure out what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
They go to that woman's house to kind of figure out what's going on to her, see that she is...
not good.
No. Oh, my God. Like,
she has made it on my couple of Instagram posts about who had it worse, this person or that. She's made it on a couple of those because that's a pretty bad fate.
Yeah. Like, best way to describe how she looked.
She's in. This is in the barn, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. She's
just like blown up to like look like almost a giant worm with her face on it.
It's essentially like, you know, they basically just put a giant balloon in there, and that's all. The only thing we're actually seeing that is her face, pretty much like
yeah.
sticking out of this giant prosthetic bloated. She's like the queen ant now, pretty much. She's like.
Yeah.
The mother for this for these larvae,
yeah,
and she's like, I'm hungry.
Yeah, oh, like, yeah. That's kind of like a standout scene for this movie. But basically, they come to the conclusion: hey, we kill Michael Rooker's character. We kill them all because these infected people, they have like the hive mindset.
Yeah, it's one of those things. You kill the host, you kill all the others. It's like vampire rules: you kill the mother, you kill the rest of them.
Yeah, so basically Nathan Fillion and Elizabeth Banks set off to do that. They get captured, kind of fight their way out, killing, like, infected beings. And finally, Elizabeth Banks does kind of tricks Michael Rooker thinking that she still loves him.
I forgot to put this. This one should have been in the Chris Loves Love in season 2.
Yeah.
She's basically, like, I love yeah. you, baby. I love you. Even though yeah. he's like, you look at his face, like, at this point, you can't
his
tell it's Michael
Rooker.
His face
is bubbling up, yeah. Basically tries to convince him that she still loves him to,
it's like,
to kill him.
Only certain people are going to get this reference, but if yeah. you have ever played Fallout New Vegas, there's a creature called a centaur that's just this mangled lump of flesh that's just like, it kind of just crawls around and stuff like that. That is what he looks like.
Yeah.
Only a few people might understand that reference.
Yeah. Eventually he kind of sees through it, knocks her against the wall out of anger.
Mm-hmm.
And then Nathan Fillion's character is so incompetent with the grenade, he can't get it off. He gets knocked into a pool.
Oh, Nathan.
Yeah. And then Elizabeth Banks shoots him. And he dies.
Yep.
Basically... killing all the aliens in the process. Aw, happy ending.
Happy ending. Or is it?
The two lovebirds together. And then you got a post-credit scene where the cat gets infected.
It's just, oh man, you're my high school sweetheart. It's a shame you're married. Well, it's a good thing that my husband is the host of this thing. We can kill him.
Yeah, we can kill him. I get his money, and then we can be together.
Yeah.
All works out, huh?
Yeah, but that's Slytherin. That was your first time seeing it, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was okay.
Aww.
I feel like this isn't a movie I'm gonna, like, go out of my way to watch again.
Right.
But if it's on, I'm not gonna, like, instantly turn the channel.
Was there a scene that's, like, where's, other than the accents, like, what is it that could have improved? What is it that would have made it more something that you would have given higher marks to?
Honestly, like, this whole concept, I think, was good. As much as I do like horror comedy, I think they should have kind of went a serious route with this. I think you could have made a truly, like, terrifying movie with this type of deal.
It's not even really listed as a comedy. It's just listed as a horror. I think I have it in front of me. It's just listed as horror.
Yeah, but...
Sci-fi horror.
Yeah. But they dig a lot into a comedy for this.
Oh, they do.
Yeah. Yeah, so...
Which is James Gunn, you gotta imagine, like, yeah. There's gonna be some humor in it.
Yeah. Yeah, I just didn't feel like all the humor hit. Like, if you're gonna go with comedy, it's a lot of it didn't work, but...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like I said, it's not a bad movie, but it's not one I'm gonna go out of my way to watch again.
All right. I mean, that's fair enough.
Yeah.
I didn't know if it was gonna be the body horror stuff that, like, got to you, or if it was, like, too gross or whatever.
No, like, I could handle body horror to an extent, like...
Yeah, I mean, you watch Terrifier and Terrifier 2, and you're, like, cool.
The Fly is good, Reanimator, yeah.
There's just a good and bad way to do them.
Yeah, Tezo, the Iron Man. Little much.
But, what about deaths? Death of the movie?
Another problem I have with this movie...
Mm-hmm.
None of the deaths are really that memorable that I can think of. Because I did watch this movie last week when we were supposed to review.
Right.
Yeah, and I didn't feel like paying $2.99 to rewatch it.
Right. I mean, the big death of the movie is that woman exploding in the barn.
Yeah. And I was trying to think of another one I could go with besides that one. So, taking the obvious, but yeah, I'm going to have to go with the woman in the barn.
Because it's not only once you open up the barn, you're like, oh my god.
Yeah.
It's like, that's a pretty bad way to go.
Yeah.
Essentially just
bad, yeah.
Essentially just getting eaten alive from the inside out.
Yeah. Fuck that. There's one way I would not want to go.
It's like that and those MP officers from the Mist that were basically being used as nest sacks.
Oh god. Yeah.
Alright, well, let's go ahead and give it a breakdown then.
Alright.
I'd say you were still pretty fair even though you said it wasn't for you.
Yeah. So what would you give it on the, was it technicals?
Well, for me, I do like the blend of prosthetics and CGI. I can pick out some. I mean, it's shot competently well. I'm bouncing between giving it a 6.5 or a 7 on technicals.
Okay.
So I might just split it in the middle and just go 6.75.
Okay.
On technicals, you know, I can tell when, you know, I know it's my pick, but I can tell when some of the effects are a little dated and stuff like that, but it's still not too distracting for me anyway.
Yeah, I'm basically right there with you. It's pretty confidently shot. I liked a lot of the practical effects, so I went 7.
Okay.
And then story for me,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's an enjoyable story.
Right.
Nothing too out of this world, but I gave it a 6.5.
Okay, I gave it a 7. I thought this. I had fun with the story a little bit more. You know, I like me a nice little creature feature.
Yeah.
Infection. I liked the cast, and I didn't get distracted by it.
Yeah. And then enjoyment. Like I said, it's a pretty good movie. But like I said, the southern accents were kind of like grating for me. I'm like,
mm-hmm.
'Cause it's just pointless.
Yeah.
So once again, enjoyment. I'm probably gonna give it a 6.5.
Okay, and for me, I'll give it another 7. It was okay. It's one of those. I like the goofiness of it.
And, yeah.
It's one of my. I mean, it's the reason why I picked it. So
yeah.
I thought the humor sometimes it can be hit or miss, but goofy enough. If I'm in the right mood, it'll be like, it's whatever. So.
So your total score for the movie is 20.75. Mine is 20. So.
Oh, so I scored it a little higher? Just only by not even by a whole point.
Yeah. Okay, so basically it comes down to like 20.35 for...
It's still not bad. It's still in the 20s.
It's a pretty good score. Yeah, I mean, it's not a bad movie.
So now, I also thought that this was interesting, the picks, because we go from aliens coming to our world to our people going to outer space with Event Horizon.
Yes.
Which, it had been at least 10 years since I have seen Event Horizon.
See, I watched Event Horizon, like, the first time I watched it was about 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, I at least watch it once a year.
It's been so long that I had forgotten that Lawrence Fishburne was the captain. I thought Sam Neill was the captain. and that Lawrence Fishburne was like part of the crew. Yeah, so you gave me Event Horizon. 1997, my favorite decade.
Yeah.
By Paul W.S. Anderson. Quick little one-sentence sum up, if you've never seen it. A crew is sent to explore a distress signal from a starship called the Event Horizon, which mysteriously disappeared 7 years prior. Which, apparently, according to the intro text, we should have colonized the moon by 2015.
Yeah.
So we're a little behind on that.
Yeah.
All right,
haven't been there since the 60s.
All right, so basically, movie starts off. We get introduced to our crew, which consists of... This is a pretty stacked cast you gave me, too. Yeah. We both had some pretty stacked acting guys. We have you got Dr. Weir, who is the Event Horizon's designer. He designed Event Horizon. He's on the ship so they can figure out what happened to it. You got Lawrence Fishburne playing the ship's captain, the ship being the Lewis and Clark, which is the salvage crew. You got Lieutenant Stark, which is played by Jolie Richardson. She's the communications and executive officer. You have Smitty, the pilot. I was happy to see Sean Pertwee back in this.
Yeah.
And lastly, you got Cooper, the medical doctor, played by Jason Isaacs, which... Jason Isaacs, if you don't know, you'll know him when you see his face. If you like Harry Potter, he's Lucius Malfoy, but he's played in a shit ton of other stuff. He has
a very big filmography.
Yeah, so
he's one of those people that you don't recognize by name, but you recognize by face.
I feel like people feel the same way about him as like Billy Zane. Are you like, who's Billy Zane?
Like, I've heard the name, I just can't think of anything he's been.
The evil fiance from Titanic.
Didn't he also play Demon
Knight? He was in Demon Knight. He was the bald guy in Demon Knight. No, he wasn't in The Mummy.
Okay.
Tales from the Crypt, Demon Knight. But anywho.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, I know who you're talking about that. Yeah.
But anyway, that's our crew. They all go into stasis, which is what you do when you go into space and you have to go long distance. You have to put yourself into stasis for, I think it was 57 days in order to get to Neptune, because I believe that's where the Event Horizon was stationed.
Yeah, just outside the orbit of Neptune.
Yeah. They all go into stasis, 57 days come by, everybody comes out of stasis. And we get told, all right, what are we doing here? What's going on with the Event Horizon? We were told that this ship exploded like 7 years ago. Turns out that the government lied about what happened to the Event Horizon. That's like a lie that they told people, that the ship just exploded and the whole project got scrapped.
Yeah.
But we get a lesson in physics. What the Event Horizon is meant to do is bend two points of... places in time in order for a ship to go from one point
two places in space, basically creating a wormhole to go
pretty
one
much
place to another. And when it first did it, they just lost
it's supposed to be like no instantaneous. They're like, you know how it took us 57 days to get here? With if we do this right, it will only take a day to like do this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And so that's the importance of the mission. Obviously sounds like, okay, well that sounds important, so that's why we're here. Because the crew's not happy to be there. They were getting ready to like go on leave. Yeah,
they just finished mission. They were ready to go on leave. And then they're like, hey, stop. We need to do this now because it's of utmost importance. Because guessing the government probably put a shit ton of money into the Event Horizon.
Yeah. And like Lawrence Fishburne is like, he's like being very short with Dr. Weir. He's like, he's obviously pissed. He doesn't want to be there. Everybody like had to postpone things in order to like do this mission.
Yeah, and getting any information about the Event Horizon, Dr. Weir's always giving him like just short of enough information to understand what's going on.
Yeah, anytime they ask further, he just talks in like techno jargon, and they're like, When they go inside the ship, they find the ship, they dock into it, and they go inside and find it pretty much abandoned until they come across like bodies.
Yeah.
It's abandoned. Like, nope, not like not, it hasn't been used. Obviously, it's been 7 years, but they see one body that's been floating around and it has like mysterious like scarring. And there's scenes that we see, but not the other crew that like there's like remains and shit, like body parts everywhere.
They get snippets of like the video diary of the previous captain crew. of the Event Horizon.
Like pre them getting to where they needed to be. And then the footage gets like fuzzy. It needs to go through some filters and like.
And the captain is speaking in Latin, which is one of the guys trying to transcribe.
Yeah, Cooper, the medical guy, is. He's like, it sounds like they're saying "liberate me," which is "liberate me" or "save us." Me.
Yeah.
So a lot of mysterious stuff going on, as well as there's one of the crew members named Baby Bear, as he's patrolling the station, comes across the ship's core. Which is on and has this kind of like liquid portal looking kind of thing in the center of it, which of course means he has to touch it.
Of course, yeah.
I mean, that's like rule 101 in a horror movie. If you see something weird, you got to touch it.
Yeah.
So he touches it and then he gets sucked into this void. He gets sucked in for a hot minute. Somebody has to come and rescue him and the void spits him back out and he's like catatonic.
Yeah.
So he's catatonic. He's laying. They take him to the infirmary bay, and they're like vitals are fine, but he's not moving. Meanwhile, all this stuff is going on. People are having weird hallucinations, very personal like hallucinations, like about dead relatives and stuff like, that you wouldn't tell people.
We're seeing his wife, one of the crewmates, seeing her dead child. Yeah.
Miller, the captain, is hearing in his head, he's hearing some voices of a guy who he had worked with who died years before. So,
yeah,
it's
people he's lost in the line of duty. Yeah.
Yeah. So everybody's like hearing things. Dr. Weir is pretending like he doesn't, but there's obviously a vibe going on in this place. But now, after the Baby Bear got sucked up into the void of the energy core, there was a burst of energy that pretty much damaged the Lewis and Clark ship that they arrived on. So now they're like, all right, they assess the situation and find out that they have 22 hours of uncontaminated air before carbon dioxide basically makes the air unbreathable.
Yeah.
So what they got to do is they're all aboard the Event Horizon because they got to repair the ship. Sean Pertwee or Smitty, he's over it from the get-go. As soon as he got in there and stuff started going on, he's like, fuck this. He's like, I don't want to be here. We don't need to be here. I don't care what this is about. We shouldn't be here.
Yeah, he's basically just, I'm going to go fix Lewis and Clark, basically. Which, he doesn't want to,
Which it's funny because, I'll say why later, because he turns out being right. But like, if you were a regular part of the crew, Sean Pertwee sounds like he's talking crazy and he's acting irrational. Like, hey, we need to keep our heads. But then later on, you find out, no, he was right. We have to need to get out of here.
Basically, yeah.
All right, so ship's damaged. They need to figure out a game plan. At this point, I'll go ahead and say the same thing that you said when it comes to the CG. This was in 97. The bad CG is noticeable, but they also do blend it with practical effects, which I appreciate. Like, actual, like, physical set locations, which I always appreciate. So, I'd say that the worst CG is just when they first show up and, like, some debris is floating in the air.
Yeah.
That's about the only real... And some electricity effects. But other than that, effects are pretty not bad.
Yeah, for a movie from 97. Yeah.
Yeah. For again, given the time period, 97. Anyway, so they're trying to figure out what's going on. They're still getting hallucinations. The crew manages to get the ship repaired, or their ship repaired, just in time for the footage to pretty much get cleaned up. And pretty much the previous crew not only killed themselves, but mutilated each other.
Yeah.
And a very satanic ritual. Meanwhile, as that's happening, Canatotic Man, old Baby Bear, gets up. Goes to the airlock. He's like in a trance. You can't talk to him. He just goes and he goes to the airlock, turns on the airlock. Then he comes like out of his trance, comes to.
Yeah.
But he's fucked. That dude. Ooh.
Yeah.
This dude, you know how in the previous one you were talking about how that one woman got it rough? This dude has it rough in this movie.
Yeah. Off based on one bad decision.
Yeah. Well, he was in a trance. So, and the button, so I guess you're not supposed to try to breathe space air because his whole body gets like sliced up and eviscerated looking. Miller manages to save him in time, but his body is not good.
Fucked up, yeah.
It's like lacerated, but he's alive and he's in stasis. They continue the ship's repair, more hallucinations. They finally get it to the point where we're like, all right, guys, we're getting out of here. We're out of here in like 20 minutes. And now Dr. Weir is starting to act weird. Weir is acting weird.
He has like the entire time he had a different objective than the entire crew.
Right. And he's pretending like nothing's wrong. Like even if he wasn't getting visions, which he was getting hallucinations, the stuff any regular person would look around and be like, all right, something is wrong here. Like, we need to get out of here. But he keeps saying we need to stay. And then he starts saying like the ship won't let us leave. And then like you're like, oh shit. When you start hearing him talk like that, he starts sounding like Quint from Jaws. And basically, Weir's now crazy, and he sabotages the Lewis and Clark ship. Pretty much blows it up.
Yeah.
Along with Smitty, who was inside.
Yeah, poor Smitty.
And now it is that at this point, Lawrence Fishburne's character, Miller, has been butting heads with Weir this entire time. Like, Weir's trying to get out of here, or not Weir, Miller's trying to get out of here, and Weir's sitting here like, no, we need to stay, this is important. And blah, blah, blah. So at this point, it didn't really take any coaxing for Miller to be like, all right, if you see Weir, kill that dude.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care if he's in a trance or anything, kill that dude. And throughout this whole thing, Sam Neill rips his own eyes out.
Yeah.
His agenda, it turns out, was to bring people back to the event horizon and to take their souls to hell, which he shows Miller a vision of the crew members that have died at this point, and Miller basically sees that his crew is not their bodies might be dead, but their souls are being tortured.
Yeah, and basically he also kind of explains that when the Event Horizon initially went into the wormhole, it went into, I don't say hell, but he says a hellish dimension outside the known universe.
We just say hell just to say it, pretty much.
Yeah.
So a fight ensues, and the first fight ensues, actually, and Sam Neill accidentally blows a hole in the hull door trying to shoot at one of the other guys, and he gets sucked out into space, dies. We have three survivors. We got Miller, I want to say Cooper, and what is the lady's name?
Is it Stark?
Stark. And they're like, all right, what we're going to do is we're going to set off these explosives, blow up the event horizon, and use the other remaining part of the ship as a lifeboat and send out a destruct signal. We're getting the hell out of here. I'm going to go set the bombs off manually. They have a bombs strategically placed just for this kind of thing. He goes off. Cooper and Stark stay behind. And guess who's back? Guess who comes back? Sam Neill's back. Comes back through the and he's like, yes, the ship wouldn't let me die. And basically, you know, evil villain monologue. They trade blows back and forth, Sam Neill obviously being stronger, until Miller finally gets to the remote detonator that had all the bombs, and he's like, see ya, bitch. And he basically blows himself up along with the rest of the Event Horizon, killing him and Sam Neill's character, Dr. Weir, but leaving Cooper, Stark, and they're still Justin, Baby Bear, in stasis. Yeah. They managed to send out a distress beacon, get themselves in stasis. We strap in for a little fake out jump scare false ending. And the three actually survive, which is uncommon. I thought that they would have died.
Yeah, but we had some survivors.
So that was pretty cool.
And yeah, I think it's uncommon for like in a horror movie. Where your survivors weren't really the main characters.
Right? Or
so if you think about it, it's Sam Neill and Lord Fishburne were the two main characters throughout the movie.
Yeah.
Neither one survived,
Nope. But that's pretty cool. The main characters died. And that is Event Horizon. What do I think of it? It's been, like I said, it's been a number of years. I put this movie in the same category as movies like, I had it right here. Like movies like 13 Ghosts or Deep Blue Sea. Movies like, it's hard to explain what it is.
It's right in that time frame too, of both those movies.
Yeah. Those movies have the same kind of feel to me of, we got a group of people, we're all secluded in this thing, we have a ticking thing, and we have to get out of here.
Yeah.
And I like movies like that. Those are feel-good movies for me. Oh, yeah. Those are movies that always remind me of Friday nights with my friends, and we would, you know, and just watching a whatever movie. So, yeah, it was a fun little treat to just kind of chill and watch this.
And unfortunately, this isn't even like the best cut of the movie.
Yeah, I heard that there was a lot
cut of the movie is Lost Times, because it's supposed to be like a lot more scenes of like the hell dimension.
That's what I heard. That
there got cut out for ratings. Yeah,
there was a lot of actual work put into the hell dimension, which is, we only see like the shaky janky, which was common, coming upon common in that era.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, damn, but you kind of want to see more. Yeah, apparently they had minutes and minutes of, like, actually seeing this tortured dimension.
Yeah, but that, I hate that they had to get cut out, but
I hate it for, one, it would have been cool to see, and two, I'm sure somebody probably worked hard on it.
Yeah, and evidently, like, it's never going to be, like, released, because
it's just, like, there's no way to find it?
Yeah, it's all lost. That sucks, yeah.
But, let me think. Was there anything that stood out, or a scene, or I tell you what, it wasn't necessarily a scene that stood out to me, but there was a couple scenes early on. I like the way that this movie makes you feel that there is no up or down.
Yeah.
At the very beginning, we see Sam Neill and at his base before the mission, and the camera pans out and rotates to the point where it's like, where you see the entire station, and I'm like, you know, it was a little disorientating, but there was a couple of other scenes that in space, there really is no upside down in space.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I kind of liked that, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely understand that. But
and I'll give the death to Baby Bear, because that was rough.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not dead.
He just had a rough go of the movie and survived.
I'm gonna go with I'm gonna go with Cooper. That dude got strung up.
Yeah.
He got killed and then pretty much had his body like hung up as a display.
That's a rough one.
Technicals. I think I give it about the same as, I think I give it a 6.5 for, no, yeah, 6.5 for technicals.
Okay. And I'm going to
roughly the same as the Slither one.
Yeah, I'm gonna keep mine the same as Slither, and I'm gonna give it a 7.
Okay.
Like the effects are pretty good, and like the CGI isn't like overly bad.
You know what? Yeah. Make it a 6.75, because I was that was one where I was also kind of bouncing it back and forth. You can make it a 6.75, because I was kind of torn on that one anyway.
All right, story.
I said the story itself is fun. Hell in space. I do have a couple of things, like, well, I did say something about the effects, but that would be in technicals. But
yeah,
there were a few weird acting takes. Yeah. I think Sam Neill, like, do you remember when Sam Neill got his first hallucination of his dead wife and that scream he did and how weird that was? there was a couple of, in a couple instances where near the end where I was like, all right, guys, you guys know that you guys are getting hallucinations. Stop following them.
Yeah.
Like, there's a character who's already been, saw her dead son once. Sees her dead son again, even though we've had this meeting saying, we're having hallucinations, we need to get out of here, and she still follows it and dies.
Instead of getting, like, important oxygen pods for Lewis and Clark.
Which is what her job was.
She just completely abandons that. She says, we're gonna follow, yeah, get to kill.
But I gave the story a 6.
Give it a 6? I'm gonna give the story a 7.
Okay.
Like, so it's a fun story, and like, I think like the first time I watched it kind of threw me up for a loop, because I wasn't expecting like a space movie to go into a hell direction. Mm-hmm. I was like, that's a nice surprise.
As someone who knew who the, what the twist was anyway, yeah, I mean, I don't got anything wrong with the story. I don't have any problem with the setup of, yeah, they go to try to find this thing and it's a hell dimension in space.
Yeah.
Enjoyment. Like I said, I put it in the same category as all those movies that I had listed. And if a movie is at least like that, where I'm like, just kind of entertain what I'm watching, I usually give those about a 7.
7? Okay.
Yeah. I like movies like that where it's just like, it's one of those anytime watches where it's just like, yeah, it's on. Okay.
Like I said, it's a movie I go back and I rewatch at least once a year now that I've seen it.
Right.
So, 7 point. Yeah, I'm going to go 7.5. I don't think I could fully give it an 8. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to go 7.5 with it. All right.
I think you might have edged this one out.
Doing some math here.
I would have liked to have seen, it would have been cool if we got to see what the hell dimension looked like a little bit more.
Right, yeah. So, total combined score for this one is 20.65.
And what was the other one?
Slither got 20.35.
Wow, these are getting closer.
So we're talking about 0.3 points, basically, between our two movies.
But you still edged it out by 0.3 points?
Yeah.
All right, so the first one goes to you.
Event Horizon is the winner.
But that's not the end of the show. We need to figure out what we're watching next time, or for the next verses.
Our next genre. All
right, what's our next genre here? All right. All right, and spin. I don't think we've done just straight up slasher, have we?
No, I don't think we have.
All right, so just straight up slasher.
Straight up slasher.
Have you seen Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer?
Is that Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer?
Yeah.
No, I have not.
That I'll put that one, Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer. That's another Michael Rooker-led one. I just recently watched that last year, I think, for the first time. I was like, oh, okay. That one's going to be... You're going to have to be in the right mood for that one. That one can be a tough watch for, like... What you're watching, I mean. Yeah. But it is. But we're in slasher, so.
Slasher.
I don't even think you'll probably give it a high score, but I still think it's worth talking about. It's one of those movies that is talked about when it comes, when people talk about either taboo movies or tough movie scenes or tough movies to, like, kind of watch. I mean, it's not like hostile, but you'll see what I mean.
Yeah.
It's the subject matter.
Okay, I'm going to go with one that I haven't seen, but I've heard really good things about.
Okay.
I'm going to go with You're Next.
That's been on my list, too, so I'll... Okay. And you're sure that's a slasher?
Pretty sure it's a home invasion slasher movie. Let's see. The Davidsons are an upper-class family, extremely wealthy, but also strange. Yeah, basically it's family get together where they get
okay. I mean, if it's like Strangers, I mean, Strangers is like a home invasion slasher kind of movie.
So. Yeah, I'm pretty sure this movie gets compared to Strangers a lot.
Okay, I mean, I would consider that in the slasher genre. Yeah.
Oh, how excited are you for the Strangers movie coming out this year?
It's the first time hearing about it.
Yeah, there's a whole new trilogy coming out
of Strangers movies. See, that's what I said. Movies like Strangers freak me out more than any kind of, like, creature movie. Stuff that can actually happen. Like, that's why I've been freaking out about the whole Hell House series that I've been watching. Like, I've been watching it a lot, but, I mean, I watch it alone at my house and when the lights are off. So I'm, like, now peering around corners hoping I don't see evil clowns and shit. But it feels real. Like, it found footage is... makes it so it feels based in reality, and those things freak me out. But
it's starring Madeline Pesh.
Okay.
Being directed by Renny Harlin.
Okay, so it's
comes out May 17th. Yeah.
Okay, that'll be cool. And so we got Your Next versus Portrait
of a Serial Killer. Yep.
Yeah, and I'm already putting this one forth. I mean, it's regarded, but yeah. it'll just be interesting to talk about because it's a different kind of like slasher type movie.
So. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's fun. And hey, a good way to kick off a good versus battle.
Yeah. Very close one we had here. So
yeah, it's got to get to the point where we're going to be doing them scoring like technicals out of 100. This out of 100. So we're only off by like points, like whatever percent.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, I'm like how this got kicked off, and I'm hoping that we get through the entire list off of this wheel by at some point. Like,
yeah, gotta keep going until we finish the wheel.
Until we finish the wheel. This body bag doesn't die until the wheel dies.
Yeah. All right. Everyone, thanks for listening.
See ya.
Have a good week.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to Body Bag Podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe and leave us a comment as to what you'd like to hear us review or any horror movie topics you'd like to hear us rant and rave about.
And while you're at it, you can find us on Twitter at Body Bag Pod and on Instagram at Body Bag Podcast.
Thanks, and we'll see you next time.